Thank you, praise team. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to Matthew chapter 1. Now, some of you who normally attend First Wesleyan Church say, we're not in John. What's happening here? For the next few weeks, I'm going to be focusing on Matthew is where I'm going to be reading from. And so on January 6th, we'll go back to John chapter 6. Today, the title of the message is this, the value of a name, and that name is Jesus. Let me say this at the beginning of this message. I think for me, at times, I hope you hear the heart of the message because for me, this seems to be a very elementary part of knowing Christ, but also it's yet so profound. The name of Jesus. I don't know if you've caught it through the service and through the songs. Thank you, Pastor Bradley, for picking songs that just talk about Jesus. The power of the name of Jesus is so extreme in our lives. And I don't know where you find yourself, and I hope you hear it through this message. Whatever you're going through, wherever you find yourself, when you're on at wit's end, according to what Scripture would say, the name of Jesus is powerful. Some of you have been able to understand that. And maybe you've gotten away from that at times. Sometimes we just kind of get away from that. But I know that there are some dark moments when all you have to do is say Jesus' name in the right way. And when you say Jesus' name in the right way, not cursing, but when you say it with holy reverence or in a whisper, God hears you. That's a true statement. If you don't get anything out of the message today except for that, if you are in a place where you're like, does anybody care? Jesus cares, and he cares for you. And in those moments when it seems deep, when it seems dark, when it seems out of control, when it seems like your vehicle's out of control, you say the name Jesus, and he calms. His presence is here today. And I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 1. Happens to be on the Bible in front of you on page 807. It's the first gospel that we have in the New Testament. I'm going to read a lot of Matthew chapter 1. And this is also one of those times when you're glad the pastor is reading and probably not yourself. Amen. That's right. Hopefully I do all right. We'll see. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. And Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez the father of Hezron. And Hezron the father of Ram. And Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. Aren't you all happy that I'm reading, not you? Now we're getting some fun ones. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon the father of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam the father of Abijah. And Abijah the father of Asaph. And Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat the father of Joram. And Joram the father of Uzziah. And Uzziah the father of Jotham. And Jotham the father of Ahaz. And Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah the father of Manasseh. And Manasseh the father of Amos. And Amos the father of Josiah. And Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob. And Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who was called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to the Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And now down to verse 25. But Joseph knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Title of the message is The Value of a Name, and Jesus' name is valued. I don't know if you know what your name means. A couple Sundays ago in my wife's Sunday school class, they figured out what their name meant. Maybe you know that. Maybe you know the meaning of your name. Maybe there's a grand meaning of your name. Maybe you've never discovered that. You should go discover the meaning of your name. The meaning of your name means something. Our names are important. Some of you know exactly how your name came to be. Others of you are like, I don't know how my mom and dad came up with my name. They just, you know, threw some names in a hat and one came out. Others of them, you know, you were named after Uncle Johnny. And so your name is John because Uncle Johnny, and that was his name. Some of us don't know. Some of us do know. I know a lady and her name is Tammy. And she was driving one day after she had been married. And she felt God speaking very clearly to her, and she said that she told me, God told her that she was going to have three boys, and she needed to name them Isaiah, Noah, and Elijah. Tammy has three boys, and guess what their names are? Isaiah, Noah, and Elijah. Now, you may not have had that in your, if you are a parent, naming names, but she did. Names in the Bible are important. Some had their names changed. One of those was mentioned in our reading today. His second name was given here, but his first name was Abram, and then his name was changed to Abraham. Another name was Sarai to Sarah. Many of us know Paul the Apostle of Christ is how he refers to himself. But his name was Saul. Some of you might know the name of Simon, but his name was changed to Peter. Names change. Why are names important? A name records a birth. Every one of us here has a birth certificate. And most every one of us has a name on that birth certificate. I know of a lady who was adopted, and she was passed by her mom to adopted mom in the cool of the night in an alleyway, and so she didn't really have a birth certificate, actually, and many years later, she wanted to go on a missions trip, and she had to apply, and all that stuff that happens when you don't have a birth certificate. Some of you maybe left the hospital, and it was baby girl, whatever, at the hospital. But nowadays, it doesn't happen that way. Typically, you have a name, you have a birth certificate. Your name is important. It records a birth. Names express their reaction to the birth. If you look into names, sometimes, oh, this is what the name means. There's some of those in the Old Testament. Names were sometimes used to communicate God's message. Oh, I'm going to name my child this, and this is going to communicate God's message. And it also could have been used to establish connection with God. I want to chat over this Advent season about the name of Jesus. It is, as Scripture says, the name that is above every name. We watched a video where it gave several names that try to identify Jesus. We're going to be looking at the name today of Jesus alone. Then we're going to see Jesus as a Savior. We're going to see Jesus as Emmanuel. We're going to see Jesus as King. We're going to see Jesus as Shepherd. And then on Christmas Eve, I hope you're here for that. We have services at 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. On Christmas Eve, we're going to focus in on Jesus' name of being the Child. It's kind of funny, actually. If you look through Matthew chapter 2, there's several references. It doesn't give Jesus' name there. It just talks about the child. It just says, the child. And now the child did this. And now the child. That's just interesting to me. And hopefully, when you come Christmas Eve, that'll be an interesting part there. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we see Jesus being referenced as the Savior. He will save people from their sins. In 1:23, we see him being Emmanuel. In 2:2, we see him as being the King. And in 2:6, we see him as being the shepherd. And so that's where we're going to go in the next couple of weeks. If you're a Bill and Gloria Gaither fan, you like the offertory because you like that song. Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote that song. There's just something about that name. Billy Graham wrote a book called The Name. And maybe you remember singing songs such as all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Or maybe you know the song of Jesus is the sweetest name I know. The first thing I want you to see is this. What's in a name? What's in a name? There was a dad who was teaching his 3-year-old to pray before eating. And Jenny was finally able to say it and do it all by herself. She prayed for all kinds of things, and she ended with a big, thank you, God, for the spaghetti. Then she was ready to eat. Well, she forgot to add the part in Jesus' name. So her dad said, in what? Well, Jenny was confused for a second, but then she proudly finished, in tomato sauce, amen. Spaghetti, tomato sauce, amen. There's something about praying in Jesus' name. We see in this passage a list of names. Were each of these names important? Mm-hmm. They are very important. Now, I, myself, do not recognize all these names. And we do have some retired pastors, Pastor Glenn and Pastor Ron, Pastor Ed's in the sanctuary today. Pastor Rod, if you want to talk to them and ask them who Zadok was, you do that. Go to them, who was Zadok? Some of these names we don't know about. Some of these names stick out. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Boaz, David, Solomon, Jehoshaphat. I don't know if that name sticks out. That's just a fun name to say, actually. Hezekiah, Joseph. Some of those names stick out. But what about Asaph or Abijah or Zadok? Unfamiliar. And by the way, if you are one who is pregnant in this place today, here are some names possibly that you'd like to use for an upcoming child. Each of these names are important. If you go to a cemetery, some of you have done this, and you look through the names, some of the names don't mean anything to you. You know, it's like, oh, John Webb. Okay, that's neat. Oh, Mary Smith. And that doesn't mean anything to you. However, when you go to the cemetery that has your loved one in it, it means something, doesn't it? I mean, you're like, this is where my grandpa has been laid to rest. We know that's his body, and we know his spiritual soul is somewhere else, but this is where he laid to rest. Names are important. The chronological order is important. And maybe you've never heard a message from the genealogy of Jesus Christ, but you get one today. It may even seem like tedious work to do, but for the reader, for the Jew, this was very important. This was the most essential way to begin the story of any man's life. They were interested in genealogies. If I may relate it to where we're at today, typically if you're with someone and you meet them for the very first time, you ask them what? What's your name? And the next thing you ask them is, what do you do? That's kind of the two things that you ask them. So instead of asking, what do you do, is like, where are you from? It's kind of, who you belong to? Oh, well, I'm Stephen. I'm son of Dennis. Oh, okay. What do you do? Oh, my dad was this. I am a pastor. And so this was the position. They, being the Jews, were concerned about the purity of lineage. A priest had to produce an unbroken record of his lineage back to Aaron. And if the priest got married, she would have to have at least five generations back. And so this is very important in the line of Jesus. The Jew would have thought this is important to trace the lineage back to Jesus. The genealogy, as you see, is arranged in three groups of 14 people each. You have to understand that this was written before most of us could have a printed book. And so because of that, they had to memorize it somehow. And so they gave it kind of in a little, this is how you memorize it. Roses are red, violets are blue, I love you. You know how that little rhyme goes. We do that to memorize thing. I'm not going to ask you to memorize those. This could be fun for you to do. Maybe this next year, 2019, you could memorize the genealogy of Jesus just for, you know, something fun to do on the way to work. Might help you somewhere along the way. Barclay commentators have entitled this section, The Lineage of the King. There's an interesting addition to this passage with the genealogy. And what is that? It's the addition of women. Women's not a bad thing. It's just that women are included in this. But actually, there's only four women that are included in the genealogy. Now, you've got to understand, women were not viewed very highly in this time period. They were viewed as a piece of property. And so that the women's names were mentioned is important. If you're a lady in the room, you're important. You're valuable. You're valuable in church. You're valuable in society. In the Bible, females have played a prominent part. The females mentioned, though, are also interesting. I don't know if you've ever talked about this before, but here are the females mentioned. In verse 3, Tamar. Don't know if you know about Tamar. I'll talk about her in a moment. In verse 5, Rahab. Also in verse 5 is Ruth. In verse 6, if you look in verse 6, there's a lady mentioned there. Her name is not mentioned, but if you look through the rest of the Bible, you realize it is Bathsheba. Now let's talk about these for just a moment. Tamar, she was a seducer and adulteress, and she's mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Rahab, do you know what Rahab did for a living? I'll use what the Bible calls her. She was a harlot. Ruth was not a Jewess. She was a Moabite or Moabitess. Bathsheba was the woman who was seduced from Uriah. Isn't that interesting? Here's what I think we get out of it. God uses all people. You may look at your past and you may say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I don't. And I don't need to. God does. And he continues to make in us a future that's wonderful. And here's some ladies that are mentioned that you're thinking, ah, oh, what's Jesus doing here? He's saying, every one of us, no matter where we've been, what we've done is valuable in God's kingdom. Let me share with you some names. Maybe some of these will ring in your ears, maybe they won't. Miley Cyrus, Martin Luther King Jr., Brett Kavanaugh, Margaret Thatcher, Donald Trump, LeBron James, Britney Spears, Adolf Hitler, John Wayne. When I say those names, if you don't know some of those people, they don't mean a whole lot to you. But if you know, you immediately think something about that individual, don't you? Names are important. Isaiah 49, verse 1, the Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. Let me repeat that. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. Second thing I want you to see, what is in the name of Jesus? Jesus means Yeshua. The beginning of Jesus' name is reference to Yahweh, which in the Old Testament would be in all caps. It would be YHWH. That was Yahweh. The second part of Jesus' name means to deliver, to save, to rescue. The first mention of Jesus' name is given us by Matthew. In order, with a brief description, it says this: He will save his people from their sins. Luke might actually give us the first recording because the angel appeared to Mary and told her she would be pregnant, or she was pregnant, and she was given the name of Jesus to name her child. I believe that God told both Joseph and Mary individually about what they needed to name their son, and in Luke chapter 1 for Mary, and here in Matthew chapter 1 for Joseph. In the Old Testament, Jesus' name comes from Joshua, Jehoshua, Jeshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. Here's what one commentator said: not conquest, but salvation or deliverance, not from human enemies or only chiefly, nor from the penalties of sin, but from the sins themselves. What was Jesus' mission? It tells us right here. It says this: to save his people from their sins. If you don't get anything out of the messages in the next few weeks, I hope at least you hear this. Jesus came to die for your sins. Your sins. Your neighbor's sins. All of mankind's sins. He came to die for sins. And this is the power of his name. Maybe people will ask you, what about this Jesus? You just reference back to Scripture and say, Jesus came to save people from their sins. That's what you need to say. Barnes says this, a commentator: it was not to save people in their sins, but from their sins. There's a different word there that you need to hear. He didn't come to save people in their sins, but from their sins. We can be set free from our sins. I don't know if you picked up on it. I didn't know we were going to sing these words, but one of the songs that we sang said these words: from our sins and fears release us. And it's Billy Graham who says this: why is it that when people curse using Jesus' name, hardly anyone complains? I was with the guy recently who took Jesus' name in a cursing way. Nobody complained. But if you speak about Jesus with respect, some people cry foul. What is it, he goes on to say, what is it about this name that brings such comfort and healing to millions, yet provokes in others such venomous hatred and offense? What are the benefits of Jesus' name? Presumably, it was the father who was given the responsibility to name the child. We pray in Jesus' name. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through him. We have redemption of sins through Jesus' name. Colossians 1:17. In the name of Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Philippians chapter 2, we see that we bow before him. In verse 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was human. He was given a human name. This, I think, gives us another pronouncement that he was a man. Now, some are like, well, we give our dogs and our cats names. Well, I understand that. And some of you name your cars or your computers, or we name all kinds of things. but Jesus was given a name. This is kind of an interesting thing. In today's culture, we have these things called ultrasounds. Some of you as ladies have experienced those. Went in, they put some stuff on your pregnant belly, and then they ran a little thing. Oh, there's the baby's head. And boy, it sure is nice when you're sitting in there that they're telling you what they're seeing. I mean, because you can see some of those things, but other things you're like, oh, really? That's a finger. I never really figured that. Oh, there's his lungs. Oh, yeah, of course that's his lungs. Yeah, I knew that was his lungs. Yeah, no problem there. Got that one. Yeah, that's so difficult to even know. But we can know the gender, we can know the size, and we can even schedule when a baby's going to come. In Mary's day and age, well, you didn't have the gender, time, and date. You just kind of showed up. But Mary knew. Mary knew there was a baby boy inside her womb. Nowadays, we have a reveal party even. Some of you have been to reveal parties. Some of you have been a part of reveal parties. And this is like after 20 weeks when they can figure out if it's a boy or a girl. They have a reveal party and they have blue cupcakes or pink cupcakes. And then everybody comes and they put their guests in. And then, was it a blue cupcake or a pink cupcake? And, oh, it's a little girl, woo! And everybody enjoys that. Before all of this happened, Mary knew. I wonder what Mary did when all the ladies got around and giggled and laughed and had a great time talking about, oh, I wonder if it'll be a boy or a girl. I wonder if Mary's like, yeah, I wonder. She knew. When the baby inside of her leapt, when the baby inside of her moved, when the baby inside of her hiccuped, she's like, it's baby Jesus in there. There were six that were named before their birth. Let me give those to you. In Genesis chapter 17, 19, Sarah said, and Sarah told Sarah, your wife will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. This was not uncommon, is what I'm trying to get at. Ishmael was talked about and named before his birth in Genesis chapter 16, verse 11. Solomon was told about before he was born, 1 Chronicles 22, 9. Josiah in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 2 was told about him being born, and that was 32 years before he was born. King Cyrus in Isaiah 44, 28 was told about him being born, and that was 175 years before he was born. And then also John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Manoah was told this as well, but she wasn't given her the name of her son, Samson, until later. This was not uncommon. But I wonder what Mary and Joseph thought. Yep, got a little boy. We're excited about the boy. I wonder. Well, they didn't. Nowadays, we do whatever colors we want for the boy or the girl, and we wait, and then we cut paint. They couldn't do that. We'll let everybody know it's going to be a little baby boy. We can't let anybody know before Jesus comes. It's not called Jesusmas, but it's called Christmas. That's what this time of the year is, November 25. A month from today is December 25. Now, we can debate and we can talk about how Jesus wasn't really born on December 25, okay? He wasn't born then. But that's when the whole world stops for Christmas. Christmas. Jesus, verse 16, who is called Christ. Jesus is important and valuable for us. We will see him in the next few weeks as Savior, Emmanuel, King, Shepherd, and Young Child. But today, hear this. The name of Jesus is the highest name. Trust in Jesus. Trust in his name. When you trust in his name, you trust in him. Oh, the name of Jesus. There's just something about the name of Jesus. As we close in the message today, I just want you to hear this. This Christmas season, be bold. When somebody talks about Christmas, say, what is the reason for why you celebrate Christmas? See why they celebrate Christmas. And then maybe you should be so as bold to say, I celebrate Christmas because of Jesus. Who knows? Maybe they'll say, well, why is that? And who is he? And then you can say, Jesus is the one who saves people, not in their sins, but from their sins. This Christmas season, may we be ones that lift high the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. And let me remind you, and I'm going to pray for somebody here this morning. Remember the name of Jesus. In the middle of the physical night, whether it be in 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning, mentioning his name, every other demon has to flee. Because in the power and the presence of Jesus' name, every other spiritual force has to bow to the name of Jesus. If you're going through a dark time in your life right now, mention Jesus' name. Keep Jesus' name on your lips. Some of you do that. Some of us have gotten away from that. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, we bow before you today. We know that your presence has been here. Thank you for the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the name that everyone will bow to and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I pray that each person here would confess of your name and live for your name. Thank you that we can utter that name. And I know that a number of people have uttered that name, even maybe through this last night, even maybe through this last week. They've just been somewhere and they just have no idea what else to say. And they just say, Jesus, help. And you're right there. Thank you for that. It seems so elementary, but yet at times it's so profound. And so, God, I pray that you would help us all as we walk out of here, that we would present you to others through our lives, through our spoken word. And then, Lord Jesus, I pray for somebody here today that has just been a rough go. They have faced some challenges. May they be reminded of the power of Jesus' name. And the power of Jesus' name, I say, flee from those individuals here today. You have no power, those enemies, against Jesus, because in the power of Jesus' name, by the shedding of his blood, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And the power of Jesus' name is powerful above everything else. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you be with that man or that woman, that boy or that girl, that teen man, that teen girl. I pray that they would be remindful and remember this the rest of their life, that your name is the name that is above every name. Thank you, God, for giving us the name. Thank you for giving us the comfort. And thank you that we can trust in you. I pray that you would help us as we go from this place today, that we would walk in step with you, and you would make us bold with your presence. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.